Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Thank you for this morning. I thank you for the privilege to share your word. I thank you because it's an awesome responsibility. Understanding that both the preacher and the hearer will stand before you to give account. I therefore ask for mercy, that you will show mercy on us this morning in Jesus' name. I pray that you will shed light upon our hearts. You will bring our past to our remembrance. And you will help us deal with an issue that is causing problems in our lives, so that there may be solutions in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. Amen. Amen. Once again, I welcome everyone, especially my wife, Pastor Bilu, Mama Bilu. You are welcome in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Who would you know that Pastor Bilu had arrived? Thank God for joining mercy. You're welcome. Pastor Baba Twins, Pastor Ogi, and our twin girls, and Mommy Ogi. I want to thank God and welcome Jemmy Lowens again. I appreciate your coming. God bless you in Jesus' name. God's desire is that we should be free from our enemies. Hallelujah. Sir Lumre asked the question, which of our enemies? We have enemies. But Paul made us to realize that unlike Israel that had physical enemies, our own enemies are unseen enemies. Hallelujah. There is a particular characteristics of this enemy of ours. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. We never knew him to be an accuser until God revealed his nature in the book of Revelation. Praise God. We knew him as the adversary. But a more subtle and a more dangerous work is that of an accuser. Praise the Lord. Because majority of us do not know that everything that revolves around creation is actually issues of legality. Can I mention it? Can I say it again? Everything about this life is about what? Legality. The Bible says that God sits upon a throne. And he calls it the throne of what? Judgment. And once you hear judgment, you are dealing with legalities. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the work of this adversary, apart from the physical attacks and things he sets up, his basic and most deadly work is when he resists you in the place of judgment. And not understanding the dynamics of how that court operates, not having been schooled in the art of handling cases, we find many of us, we come out defeated most often times. I used to think either too, that because God is my Father, certain things should be mine by right. Praise the Lord. I used to think so, until I read this book that M.D. Brown authored. He came to set the captives free. In that book, she narrated an incident that took place in her life. Her husband, who was a former warlock, you know, a warlock is a male witch. He had been a witch before. He had operated in that high level of the occult. Hallelujah. God born again, God converted, and ended up marrying MD Brown is actually a medical doctor by training. Rebecca Brown. I think I would suggest you go and read her book, Divine Revelation of Heaven and Hell. You need the two to be balanced. Many of this nonsense that we are going through, those two books will recalibrate you. Hallelujah. You can say that God is not wicked. That's your business. But I don't want to find out when I cross over. Amen. Are you with me, church? In that book, she narrated an incident that the witches in America had their annual international convention. Which is that convention? Just like you have convention. Hallelujah. And instead, watching, it was televised on the national news. She went to sleep, instead watching what was going on. And around the wee hours of the morning, the program was interrupted. And they picked Rebecca Brown's book and said, this book has done more damage to our cause than any other Christian book ever written. It came to set the captives free. So they said they should begin to pronounce death curses on Rebecca Brown. And the husband ran into the room to wake his wife and said, come and see what these guys are doing. And Rebecca, like every other Christian, came out. They were cursing her. They were commanding her to die. International broadcast too. Not where it has you. And she just waved it. Nonsense. You know me. And she went back to sleep. And the other said, hey, this thing they are doing, it's not on I said, you know how we do. Few days after, prominent prophets all over America began to call her. I said, Rebecca, we saw visions that you died. You saw visions that you died. This person called, this person called, this person called. And it was like, lunch and people, you know. But now, these are not Jeku Rede prophets that say, I see, there's somebody in your family. She's light, green. You say, yes, I know her. She's green. She's the one. You know that kind of prophet. Praise God. No, but these are prominent prophets. She knew that this was her prophet. So when they began to call her, she said, I think this is a serious matter. Then she went to the Lord and began to see God's face. What is going on? And Jesus spoke to her. He said, actually, these people have come before God and they're asking for permission to kill her. He said, I cannot do anything. They said, we begin to pray. And they said, if you don't begin to pray, he said, the Father will grant them their permission to kill you. And I was like, how can my Father give them permission? Then I realized that he is not your Father when he sits in judgment. He is not what? Not your Father. Once he sits, I don't know, you are a lawyer. Even if your daddy is the judge, and once he enters that courtroom and sits, he's no longer your father. Neither is he your friend. I read the story of Archbishop Idahosa. There was a case they brought against him. And his old friend was the judge, Benicity. And Archbishop was like, all right, you know, my friend, you're just like that. So they called the case inside. The guy roared at him and said, are you sitting judgment or you are standing trial? Or let me get up, my friend. He was. No, trial begins. He's not your friend, though. He's not your enemy. He's not your friend. He is judge. And your understanding of that simple fact will deliver you from many, many problems. So I learned a lesson. God delivered me from foolishness that day. That you don't take things for granted. I have experienced it myself before. I was going to do WAEC marking. We used to get crash. Praise the Lord. I and one brother. We're brethren. Brother. We knew each other in LC. We meet every week in LC meeting. Hallelujah. He's a teacher by training. He has been teaching and teaching. I've not been teaching. I just needed extra money. Praise God. And they needed to pick one person. And the brother was confident because he has been marking work. He's a teacher. You know? It was going to be his. Me, I said, God, I will go to the throne and demand. For the battle, no man receiveth anything. Except he's giving to him from where? Above. Olua, Ebakoso, Lebros Kabadisha, Lambra Mama, I lay claim to this in Jesus' name. And I look, the brother didn't pray, brother is losing his name. And they were deliberating our matter inside. The Waek officials were deliberating our matters inside. Me, I was robust-going and laying claim and asking heaven to give it to me. And my brother just sat down there and it is well in my soul. Hallelujah. After an hour, they came out and they read the verdict. And I said, sorry, brother, we can't give you. We are giving it to he who does not even teach. That's how they got the job. And I learned a lesson that it's not of him that runneth or him that willeth, but of God that shows mercy. But mercy is not given on a platter of gold. You must go up and collect it. Praise God. You must go up. You must go up. So these are five main things that many of us don't understand how these things work. There's a way that you must approach, you must take to lay hold upon these things. God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, having said all this, there is something I want to say. That is not my message. Hallelujah. In case you have concluded that, okay, great rev, hallelujah. No, that's not great rev. What I want to share with you today is about this. Another aspect of Satan's work is called the work of a fowler. You know what a fowler is? Have you been very, very stubborn, naughty when you were young? Did you try catching birds? It's called somebody who ensnares. Somebody who lays trap. That is another aspect of his calling and specialty that he excels the most. He's an entrapper. That's the way they put it, an entrapper. He entraps. He entangles. He digs pits and makes people fall in it. Hallelujah. There are reasons why people fall into his traps. There are many. But to make my message a little bit, you know, look fine, I will take only seven. Praise God. I can take three. You know why? It is a religious mindset. When you use 3 points, hallelujah. Three stands for the Trinity, Abi. Then what can I use again? Seven, which stands for completion. Praise God. So that's how we do it today. I will speak only seven. Amen. And I'll run through it. The first thing I want to speak that opens the door for the trapper, he who ensnares to eat us, has to do with relationships. We spoke about that this morning. Exodus 34 verse 12. Look at God's express commandment. This is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. Please, let me tell your neighbor, this is not a suggestion. I was going through a particular article that somebody wrote about hyper grace and was given the impression that Old Testament instructions does not concern us again. How wrong can it be? God is the same yesterday, is the same today, and the same forever. So also is Satan. He has always been Satan. He is still Satan and will always remain. Did you complete it for me? Take it to who? Not to myself, not to everybody, but to thyself. What are you supposed to do? Lest thou make a covenant with the what? The inhabitants of the land. Whither thou goest, lest it be for a what? A snare in the midst of thee. In the midst of thee. A snare in the midst of thee. Now, if you know the history of Israel, God did not drive away all the inhabitants of Canaan immediately they came in. He said he will leave them and he will drive them out little by little. One, to prove them. Two, so that the animals will not multiply against them and be a problem for them. Do you understand that? However, it's very specific. Don't make a covenant with them. Now, you explain why. Look at Deuteronomy 7:16. Why we can and we should not. And I'll give you the New Testament something. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee, that I shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods. For that will be a snare unto thee. In fact, this thing went across even to the issue of marriage. Why you cannot marry somebody that is not of the same faith. Praise God. The reason why that is has to do with the gods they worship. These gods that these people worship, Paul wrote to us, he said, the gods the Gentiles worship are demons. Hallelujah. They are what? They are demons. Now, listen to me. He writes it to them in the Corinthian church. He said, I want to speak to you about that which is spiritual. Now, as Gentiles, they have seen the supernatural. Now, because something is supernatural, does not make it spiritual. Did you hear me? Because it's what? Supernatural. Does not make it spiritual. Because the forces behind it are unseen, does not make it spiritual. That which is spiritual is of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? And what is spiritual could also be supernatural. Do you follow my thoughts? It could be supernatural, but not everything that's supernatural is of the Holy Ghost. So, God said, the reason why you cannot make a covenant with them is because of their God. There's no way you will enter covenant and you will not enter into a covenant with their gods. They are all tied together. Hallelujah. Why is it sometimes some parents will not want you to marry from a particular place? Is it because the person is not handsome or the girl is not pretty? No. It's the kind of God they've subscribed to. Now, we read the story of a man called Solomon who disregarded this warning. The Bible says, oh, Solomon, out of political exigencies, out of political correctness, because people just came and said, my king, I don't have anything to give you, but this is my beautiful daughter. Just marry her. She was just collecting girls. And she was collecting cars like Dino Malai. Praise God. Do you follow me? But something happened. The Bible says this woman turned his heart. Wrong relationships can turn your heart. It has the power. God was asking the prophet a question. He says, if you put holy material on a person, does it make the person holy? He said, no. But if you put that which is unholy upon somebody, does it make the person unclean? He said, it makes the person unclean. In other words, it's easy to make somebody unclean than make somebody holy. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. So Paul wrote in Romans 12, he said, do not be conformed to this world. All the history of Israel, read the whole history, the history of Israel was about this problem of conformity to this world. And that was what led to God destroying them. And this is the present church system where we think because Jesus died on the cross, God has changed. I'm very sorry for you. We were talking yesterday. Ananias and Sapphira, did they go to heaven after God killed them? Eh? Did they go to heaven? Did Ananias and Sapphira, their life to the Holy Ghost, did they go to heaven? They didn't go to heaven. They went to hell. In case you want to find out, you have to go to hell to find out. I don't want to find out. Oh, I had that joke. One girl was saying that the Bible's story of Jonah will swallow Jonah. And the teacher said, no, that story is not true. And I think she and the lady, the baby girl, the teacher and the boy, she said, how will you know that in some way? He said, when I get to heaven, I will find out. So suppose the Jonah is not in hell, so you can find out. Praise the Lord. I don't think I want to find out like that. Amen. It's still the same problem. Conformity. Relationships. Ungodly relationships will open a snare and you will fall into it. That's how Satan entraps you. How did he destroy Samson? Ungodly relationships. Delilah was a Philistine. He was not supposed to enter, to even come close to her. But that, unfortunately, was the kind of girl that Samson loved. Watch your love. Otherwise, Satan will ensnare you. He will ensnare you. The second way he does that, wrong religious practices. This one I will talk of. Judges 8, 27. Wrong religious practices. See one. Now there were two. This is one. The other was the story of Moses. Sure, you guys remember the story of that the serpent that he raised and it brought healing to everybody. The Bible told us that the serpent that brought healing, Moses kept it in the camp, and people went there to start consulting it. And it became, and for that consultation, God was killing them. That thing was once brought healing, once brought deliverance, but after that, God had moved away. Now, people would not have gone consulting if some people did not give testimony that it was working. That it was working does not mean God was involved. It was a snare. Praise God. It was a what? And Gideon made an effort, therefore, or thereof, and put in it, in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither, a worry after it, with it became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Wrong religious practice. The ephod was worn by who? The priest. Waiting concerned Gideon with ephod. Was he a priest? Did he come from the family of the priesthood? What was his business with an ephod? Now, if that ephod, I'm even surprised. I don't know what was wrong with this guy. Maybe he also created the Thummim and the Urim and put it inside. Amen. The stones of judgment. Because that was made the Urim and that was made this thing very important. Hallelujah. And they were going after it. And they were consulting it for breakthroughs. And it was giving them a breakthrough. But the Bible says it was a snare. For that, God was judging people. So, we must be careful what kind of practices we follow. Now, because somebody stood and he cursed an enemy, does not give you right to also follow him and curse your own enemies. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I don't know how to say this, but please listen to me. Any minister of God that finds it very convenient to threaten you with a curse is not a minister of God. Well, yeah, I will curse you. Is a Satan, is a trap, is a snare. That man is a what? Is a snare. Because God did not put in our mouth the authority to curse. Read the whole story. Apart from a tree, God, Jesus did not curse any man. Read the whole story of the Gospels. Paul did not curse any man. A judgment is different from a curse. The man that was opposing him, he said, darkness will cover him for a season. Just to show that this authority did. Amen. But he did not curse the man. Even God himself, when was God to judge Adam, did not put a curse on Adam. He was very, very careful. That was why what Moses did was treason. Speak to the rock, and he smote the rock, and God was angry. For that, he caused him entering the promised land. You think now, Naria? He says, you cannot strike the Christ two times. So Paul wrote that you cannot do death fight to the Spirit of grace. You cannot even receive all these things, and you turn back and say the blood of Christ is nothing. And you say there is no more opportunity for repentance. You sealed your own destiny, just like Moses sealed his own. For Moses, he went to heaven, but he missed the promised land. Hallelujah. You will not miss the promised land in Jesus' name. But you must be careful, lest those religious practices become a snare. And we have it all around us. You've heard about the man in the bottle. The anointing oil. I don't think it's popular anymore. But some people still do it. Who has a handkerchief? I went to a church, my wife. I went to a church many years ago. Many years ago. This is why I can't catch it. I saw that thing on the pulpit like that. Hanging there. There were 1, 2, 3 or thereabout. The thing was dark brown. What is dirty? God. Where did they get that practice from? The Bible told us that they took handkerchiefs from the body of Paul and went to lay on somebody that was sick, and those boys were delivered. Where else did they use it again? Nowhere. What's our problem? You see, when you see, Gideon was copying something. And once he copied it, demons stepped in. It was a snare. The New Testament is different. The Holy Spirit can instruct me to use the handkerchief and instruct pastor to use water. You don't have the right to copy us. Neither do I have right to make it a practice. To make it a practice is to open the door for a snare. And Satan will ensnare all the people involved. And instead of God being a blessing to you, you will find that God will keep opposing you. You find that God will keep... You will always have problems to always come back. Am I making sense to you? Be careful that you don't open the door to that kind of snare. Religious snares are plenty all around us. Even people... Let me say this, please, over. Some of you, especially men and women, that use bracelets and all those kind of things, that buy ornamentals, that buy... You like art. Be careful. Because those things can become sources of snares. Many of those things have demonic origins. You don't even know why you begin to fly in the night. You don't even know why oppression is in your house. Many years ago, people used to buy one painting like this where a child was crying. I don't know, you guys were young. The child was crying. They were putting it in the house. It looked very beautiful. But calamity began to inflict everybody that bought that painting. Don't open the door. Be careful about objects and all those things. People buy chains. There's a star on the chain. There's one like on. Those are symbols of occultic things. Snakes. You say, you are killing yourself. You are a mark, anti-mark. Satan said, this one is my own. I have free access. Be careful. I will not elaborate. I'm not doing deliverance. But this meaning deliverance. Praise the Lord. Wrong religious practices. Adulterous relationships. Well, this is the same thing as wrong relationships. But look at this. It's an interesting... Proverbs 7. Can we read it from 1 to the end? Let us read responsibly. Proverbs 1. Are you there? Proverbs 7, from verse 1. Let us read it responsibly. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Verse 2. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thy eye. 3. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep thee from who? The strange woman. From the stranger which flattereth with her words. For as the widow of my house, I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I discern among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. And she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without in the street, and lies in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impertinent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of cypress, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our full fill of love till the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her most fierce speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the corruption. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me, O you therefore, O you children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path. For he has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Can you see? Now this spoke about a woman. But this is generic. Are you with me? The spirit. It can afflict a man. It can also afflict a woman. It's a snare. Those adulterous relationships are snares. I can give you thousands of examples of how men have destroyed their lives because of wrong and careless relationships. Please be careful. I beg you, be careful. Don't say, I am strong. He says, many strong have gone there. Even the great Samson did not return. Praise God. I heard many years ago when Bishop Oedipo said this. That time, there was a crisis in the body of Christ. One prominent American preacher fell. Swaggart and Jim Baker. And Bishop said, if those men can fall, I don't think I'm strong enough not to fall. And so immediately, he said he changed all the personal staff around him. All the female on the staff, he changed them and made them all male. I said, if Bishop say he can fall, then me myself, there's no hope. Hallelujah. I learned a lesson. May they not use your story for lessons. Yes. If this thing has brought down many, Satan sets them around you, in your place of work, in your classes, everywhere, they are all planted there. And this is the only sin the Bible says you should flee from. Everyone you can resist. That's a resist the devil, and he will flee. But when this one comes, you don't resist. You run. Has armed robber ever pursued you before? You flee. You don't speak in tongues. You don't quote scriptures. There was a man of God that went to see his friend in an hotel. And two adulterous girls were there, dressed in the attire of harlots. And the man of God sat there and was speaking in tongues. When his body could not retain it again, he jumped up. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I said, you are just serious. You should have ran. But there was no point entering the room. Immediately you came into the room and saw I will see you another time. And why did you have to stay there and find out whether you can wait or you can survive? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't find out. See, you think your life is a film. Shege, kilo machele next. Kilo machele next. Kilo feshi. Okay, before we go to feshi. You don't wait. It's not fit. Look, those things are possible in faith, not your own life. Hallelujah. It will not happen to you in Jesus' name. That's my prayer. So if you find any ungodly relationship, I had one ungodly relationship like that before. It was even a Christian sister. And I found that the way she was getting close, first she had already started affecting my emotions. I told my wife, I'm having a problem. I'm going to have to cut this relationship. He said, no, my wife is very, but I hope it will be stubborn. Mad at you. He might be very jolly. Mad at you. Go burn you. Just keep praying. Then I initiated the fight. Imaginary fight. That even my pastor could not solve. Oh, no, Renin. Rubbish. I was just doing that to push her away. My soul is more precious than that thing. It's only 5 minutes. You will destroy the rest of your whole soul. The day when she was going to marry, I was not there. I was supposed to be the coordinator of the whole The Bible says, let your head lack no oil. Don't let it lack oil. Don't let them take away your garment. It's a snare. It has destroyed many. We are in a world where everything is permissive. People say there is no sin. So that sin is in my body, it's not in my spirit. No, you and your spirit will land in hellfire. Don't worry, just keep on going. You will land in hellfire. Then you will know. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 to 12. Wrong timing. Amen. This was what we used to pray on Thursday. He said, I returned, and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the what? To the swift. If you don't know any Bible, know this one. When you graduate, you will know by revelation and by experience that the race is not to the swift. There was a young boy that graduated from Futa, he made a third class in physics. But that boy was faithful. But boy is faithful. Boy is faithful. Emigo agree. Oh, faithful. Oh, dependable. Oh, your brother. But he came out with a third class. For a third class, there is no hope. But somehow, he went. They just called him for a job interview. For one reason or another, the person they were supposed to take did not turn up. He said, let us offer him the job. And that's how he got a job with Intel. Wow. And he is a big boy as I speak today. If he doesn't tell you that he makes a class a footer, you cannot know. God rewards. He does not forget your labor of love. He doesn't forget. Alright. The race not to the swift. Not the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But what is? But time. Everyone say time. Time and chance happens to all men. Whether you are a believer, or you are an Hindu, or you are a Boko Haram, or you are an atheist, or you are a Fulani herdsman, or you are a Buharist, or you are APC or PDP, or you are Jonathan, time and chance happens to all men. Amen. So when you pray, I say, God, lift me. God, lift me. The truth is that God hears the prayers of the righteous. But the problem is that the righteous does not know the time and his chance. He doesn't recognize it. If you were David, that morning when his father called him, said, go take this food to your brothers. Would you have seen that as an opportunity for you, God answer your prayer for breaking? Did it look like a breakthrough morning? It didn't look like a breakthrough morning. Praise God. Am I talking to you? If you are saying, but daddy, I have work to do. My animals are there. Who is going to take care of those animals? And all? People have complained. And his dad was saying, mama, demon. I think Jason was with that kind of, my sherry. Because I think Jason was the kind of person that said, Kiloko Egbombo boy, David. Eliab. Go and do this. He said, David, come and do it. The father will know when he called David. The father won't talk. Do you follow me? No, not that kind of person. If I say, Lori, go and do it. I say, Damiloju, come. I said, I didn't send Damiloju. I said, Lori. Oh, yeah, my friend. Praise God. Because they have a way of passing it down the ladder. I'm a victim of that ladder operation. Praise God. So I understand. Amen. Glory to God. He did not know that was the day of his promotion. He didn't even know how it was going to come. But he went there nevertheless. And what did he see? He met a problem. Like we often do every morning. We meet problems. But rather than us recognize it as an opportunity, we see it as a problem. And so we have developed a culture of backing away from challenges. You never know. What did the Bible say? It says, sow in the morning, sow in the afternoon, sow in the evening. For you do not know which one will prosper. Whether this or that, you can't tell. Hallelujah. Amen. These are things that, you see, you don't know when God will visit you. That yeah, man, when Jesus came, he did not know that was the day of his visitation. He didn't know. Young man, how far? Old man, I think the man was old. So I've been there for 38 years. He was, I've been an old man, hallelujah. Let's assume he was there at the age of 20. Addison, for the old man, was much older than Jesus. Praise God. But Jesus was born, that man was there. Hallelujah. I 38, yes, he was older than Jesus. Hallelujah. His problem was older than Jesus, not his person. His problem was older than Jesus. Amen. So, will you like to be old? He started telling stories. How the angel used to come. How people used to... Why did you cucumber sleep inside the water? And let the angel meet you there. Praise God. God will help us. Today is not the message of this. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9. Back to where we came from. Look at verse 12. For men also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time. Where it falleth what? Suddenly. The story of humanity is about sudden shifts in civilization, sudden shifts in society. Those sudden shifts will push some people up. Those sudden shifts will shut some people down. It's always been like that. That's how been the history of money has been. And because you don't know when things are about to shift, you also become a victim. How many of us prepared for APC? Who knew that they were going to bust economic recession? Who knew that they were going to wipe away our savings? Who knew that we were going to run a government that was going to be very inclusive, that only they and their family will eat? Who prepared for that? Many of us never did. Because we foolishly thought it shall always be well. It will not always be well, Luke, if you don't prepare. The story is told of Elijah. You remember? Yeah, he was one who prophesied about the drought. And they thought he was joking. Praise God. But you see, God anticipated, told him. And so God prepared a brook where he can feed. The reason why the son of Issachar were so important to the survival of Israel. The Bible said they knew times. They knew when Israel ought to invest. They knew when Israel ought not to invest. They knew when Israel ought to go out. They knew when Israel ought not to go out. I want to ask you this morning, do you know what's going to happen in the economic cycle of Nigeria in the next 5 years? Does anybody here know? There's something definite is wrong with our prophetic capacity. So what's the purpose of having prophetic capacities where you cannot even know what's going to happen? Yes, we need to begin to talk to ourselves. The Bible told us that when there's going to be a famine, they're going to eat the earth. And therefore stood and prophesied about it and told them this is how you will survive it. They prepared for it. They knew the time was going to shift. We don't know when this time is going to shift. We have no preparation, there's no program, there's no plan. All of you are just coming into school. May I say this? If I ask all the girls, what do you want to go and learn? They want to go and learn sewing. They want to become fashion designer. Every girl wants to be a fashion designer. Who told you that that's where the economic company is moving to? Who told you? Who told you that the next wave of economic prosperity is those who are doing Eko and Akara? The woman in Oshu, when the economic wave came, she rode on it. Everybody's not doing it. Nobody is prospering. Okay? She has made her money and she has gone. Why are we following the winds that is blowing? Wind blow like this, we blow. Wind blow like this, we blow. When you hear that somebody is now selling yam and he has built one somebody bungalow, everybody starts selling yam. When I say, this person is now selling sweets, he has been bungalow, you to go and start selling sweets. For how long will you be blown to and fro? Am I making sense to you? Now, look, every wind of doctrine is not church doctrine alone. Every wind of doctrine is also economic doctrines. Do you hear what I said? Not economic doctrines. Confusion all over. Nobody knows what to do with their lives. Someone now tells you that there is a way to Europe. It's called Mediterranean Sea, pass through Morocco. And people follow. I'm very sure many Christians have died in Morocco. Some of them, many of them are born again. They were going to church before they ran. And they all perished there. Because they don't know the times and the seasons that came upon them. May God help us to know. Amen. Times are coming. Somebody said, I will not forget this. It was the former Central Bank Governor, Soludo, said those who caused that last economic crash will cause the next one. So there's another one they're going to do. It was orchestrated by people. They deliberately did it. Once they see that there's an advantage they can have, they will crash the world economy. And the crash is coming. The crash is coming. And it's going to be a very big crash. Please, don't be like me. When I was going to do my WAEC, I could tell people, God just gave me a prophetic gift. I knew the questions that were going to come out to WAEC. I used to tell my friends, because my dad did it, my brother, just go and read it. They thought I was crazy. But when they entered exam, it was a bit as if I read this question. But there was one that I did in maths. I told them everything that would come out, especially this proving of sine, cosine. I was a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. But they didn't go okay. When the exam came out, I was blank. That was how I got an A2. That was the only question I missed. I was going to get A1 asterisk, so it's power 4. But that question, I knew it. I told them everything that was coming out, but I myself did not read that one. So it's possible to prophesy about tomorrow and you yourself don't prepare. It's a snare. Economic snare has come upon people. And it's going to come again. It's going to come again. By voting and collecting money is also a snare. Praise the Lord. Mark my words. Some people will cry in this nation. Let me finish. The words we speak is also a snare. Proverbs 6, verses 1 to 5. Let me close on this note. Then we'll pray. My son, Say, if you have become surety for your neighbor, if you have given your pledge for a stranger or another, why are you giving me Amplified? He said, which one is this? Can I start again from KJV, the original translation? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. My son, if thou hast shorty for thy friend, if thou hast shaking thy, I like that, shaking thy hand with a stranger. Verse 2. Thou art what? Snare with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Let us stop there. He spoke here about entering into a pledge or entering into an agreement with your stranger, realizing that you have no ability to pay. Now, let me say this. Many of us get into economic problems because we make promises we cannot keep. You buy things you cannot pay. You buy things you cannot afford in hope and anticipation that money will come tomorrow. Do you understand? And so because you buy something which is beyond your pay grade, you have to go and borrow somebody else to pay that something. Do you understand? And usually you don't borrow that the same amount, you borrow a little higher. Then you are unable to pay, you borrow again to pay. Before you know it, you are an established debtor. And you keep running and running and running. It's even more bad if you went to borrow from banks, or you even went to Lapo. Your case is finished. Your life is on the line. But it's even more serious when, out of anguish, out of desperation, you make certain pronouncements concerning your life. Listen to me. Satan does not play fair. What did I say? Satan does not play fear. Now, people say things like this. If I'm the one, let Shango kill me. You are trying to prove your innocence. If I'm not the one, Satan does not care whether you are the one or you are not the one. Because we have altered it, we will establish it. You don't understand. You think you are talking to God. If I'm the one, you are accusing me. If I'm let seven thunders strike on my head. Satan will organize seven thunders to strike on my head. Because your words have gone out. You have said words carelessly that you should not have spoken. And these are things that will dog your steps in life. You will just start seeing calamities will start happening. So I see many people that go to prophets. I said enemies are pursuing them. They do not know where it came from. The words you spoke, Satan is implementing it. And if it is not me, let their life not be good. You now find out that all things will be turned upside down in your life. And you'll be wondering, what did I do? Is my family people follow me? They followed you. Because you spoke foolishly. You spoke harshly. And if you don't repent of it, they will destroy you. So these are ways by which we get ourselves ensnared. There are many other ways. But these are ways we get ourselves exposed to Satan. Now, James was saying this. He said that you are tempted when you are drawn away. Satan will set you up and then you are ensnared. So you are taken like a bird in an evil time. One of the best ways to avoid snares is to make sure that there is nothing that is so strong that they can use to poison you. Somebody said, don't go to the same buka to eat every day. Did you hear me? Those of you that like going to buka. Once they know where you eat, that's where they'll come and eat you. Praise God. Have you not had to? Where did you think Jonathan married the woman from? Where do you think Jonathan got the wife from? It was Buka. He married his wife from Buka. Praise God. And from Buka, he followed her. Not that she followed him. He followed her. Be careful where you eat. Those of you that like eating buka. I don't know why love portion must go through food. I don't know. I've never had that people fall in love by just shaking hands. Hallelujah. It is always proof. When they give you food, you will follow her. I'm doing my research. I will find out later. Praise God. Psalm 91 verses 1 to 4. This is the antidote. It's a prayer and a confession. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee from what? The snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shall you trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. God is the deliverer. The Bible says that God will deliver even the lawful captives from the hands of their captors. It is you that walk into the snare, but God is powerful enough to break it and let you go. Look at Psalm 124. And we'll take those two prayers, two scriptures, verses 6 to 8. We'll take it to pray as we stand to pray. Psalm 124. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Well, I would like you to stand up this morning and pray. I have said some things. I don't know where you have been exposed. I want to declare the word of the Lord. The Lord is our shield, is our buckler. I said it will deliver you from six, yea, from seven troubles. He said the snare is broken. I want to break the snare. Whatever snare you may have walked into, in the name of Jesus, I want you to pray and break those snares. It's a declaration now. You are making declaration in the name of Jesus. Whatever way you have been...
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.